Good morning and welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are going to be starting Parshas Va'eschanan. Va'eschanan has 118 psukim in it in total. Our first Aliyah, Rishon, has a total of 11 psukim running from Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel to Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. The main focus of our Aliyah seems to be Moshe's plea to get into the land of Israel. A basic summary: Moshe describes how he pleaded at that time to go into the land of Canaan. He describes how he praised Hashem. Hashem has just begun to show him the strength of his hand. There are no powers in the heaven and the earth which can do like his deeds. He begs that he can go forward and see the good land, then go to Transjordan and see the good mountain, which is Yerushalayim, and the Lebanon, which refers to the Beis Hamikdash, which was made from cedars of Lebanon. And at this point, Hashem got angry. And he says, Rav Lach, you have already too much, or a lot. You don't speak to me on this matter anymore. Hashem asks him to stop praying. He says, rather go up to Rosh HaPisgah, the head of the mountain. See, go look in all the directions, but you will not cross the Jordan. So you can see the land, but you can't actually go there. He commanded Yahushua, saying that he will lead the people and give them the land. That's going to be the condemnation, meaning Yahushua is going to be the one who brings the people into the land of Israel. And at this point in time, they were in the valley in front of Baal Peor. Now, it's interesting that in the middle of Aliyah actually has a change of perek. As we know, the chapters were added from a Christian source. They don't really have so much relevance. They're helpful markers. But the person who put the perek put it in the middle of this Aliyah. Clearly, those who divided the Aliyahs felt that this is a common theme. But it's interesting to note that from this point onward, it seems like a different topic we're going to work on, understanding why it's in fact germane to what we've set up till now. So Moshe Rabbeinu now turns to Israel and says, Atah Yisrael, he says, you should listen to the laws, the statutes, in order to inherit the land. And he commands them not to add nor subtract any mitzvahs which are commanded to them. And he cites Baal Peor as proof when the whole episode of when they sinned by being seduced by the daughters of Midian and Moab, and then leading to the ultimately to being punished and the plague ensuing. So he says, you should see that, and that's the result of not listening to Hashem. And he finally says, Yom, you who cleave to God will be alive today. That is the way the Aliyah ends. So a lot of very fascinating things to think about. Number one is, when is this happening? At that time, I was supplicating to Hashem. When was that time exactly? So Rashi puts this in context. If you remember, the end of Parshas Devarim is recounting the events of the war against Sichon and Og, the Canaanite kings on the east bank of the Jordan. So this refers to the events immediately following Parshas Chukas, going into Parshas Pinchas, actually, where this episode goes, where Moshe Rabbeinu requests to go in the land. Why is the request at this time? So Rashi explains it's because now Hashem has conquered, or started allowing them to conquer, the east bank of the Jordan, which is going to some of the tribes. So Moshe Rabbeinu thinks maybe now the Gezerah, the decree, which makes him not able to access the land, has been rescinded because he's already standing at the entrance to the palace, and Hashem reaffirms it despite that. Okay, now, in Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer, what can we learn from the formulation of tefillah, our tefillah? So Gemara actually tells us in Brachos a very important rule, and that is that always, whenever you speak to Hashem, you should always start off the Shevach, with praise Hashem, and then Bakosha, and then requests. So this is true when it comes to his Bodidus, when a person is by themselves trying to converse with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's true of the more formal structures of prayer, which is what we have today, Aramida. Aramida is structured in such a way that there's first Shevach, the first three brachas are praise of Hashem, and the next 13 are requests of Hashem, different types of requests. And that's based on this formulation of Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of Parshas Va'eschanan. Now, Hashem says to him, Rav Lach, you have a lot. What does that mean, you have a lot? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that the reason why you wanted to go to the land of Israel wasn't because you wanted to go to the spa at the Dead Sea and you wanted to be able to buy an apartment with a good view in Yerushalayim. No, you wanted to be able to actually accrue spiritual benefit. You wanted to do the mitzvahs in the land of Israel. So Rav Lach, you already have so much spiritual benefit. You have so much merit already. You do not need to go in the land of Israel for that. That's what Rav Lach means. Rav Hirsch says on a more basic level, Moshe Rabbeinu, you've lived out the mission of your life. You've done so much. Everything you needed to do, you've done. You don't need this anymore. And think about that. The greatest accomplishment that we can possibly think about is being able to hear from Hashem, or being able to know in and of ourselves, Rav Lach, that we did everything we need to. We've been given a good life. We did what we needed to do with that life, even though it may have been difficult at times. Next question. Now, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu not to pray. That's very strange. When does Hashem tell people not to pray? So there's a few times it happens in the Torah. This is one of them. The Torah explains that Hashem loves the tefillos, loves the prayers of righteous people. But when Hashem has made a decree, then continuing to pray is actually going to be seen as obstinance, not seeing as something which is good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, don't, Al Tosef, don't carry on praying. You need to know when is the time to pray. You need to know when is the time not to pray. Sometimes people will bash on the doors of heaven, and they'll call to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any times, and sometimes till it can really change the most dire situations. But when there's been a gzeiro, and Hashem made a shavua, an oath, then Moshe shouldn't go in. That is not going to change, and Hashem doesn't want to exercise tefillah at this point in time. Why? Now, another question. Why does Hashem why is there the connection between the first and the second part of this aliyah? First part of the aliyah is Moshe Rabbeinu, his request being turned down, not praying. And then the last part of the aliyah is telling Bnei Yisrael to follow these chukim and mishpatim, these laws and statutes. So Aruch HaMakadosh explains that it corresponds to the two lackings Moshe Rabbeinu had or experienced. One was at Meimah River, where he hit the rock as opposed to speaking to the rock. Another one was that he forgot the law of what happens when in the situation of Zimri and Cosby, when a Jew and a non-Jew are publicly getting together in an intimate style, what the halacha is, which Pinchas reminded him. So these are two lackings we recently saw, and the Aruch HaMakadosh says is he's reaffirming them by telling the Bnei Yisrael to listen to the chukim and mishpatim. The chuk is a statute which is unknown and not clear why it should be. That's referring to the idea of Meimah River and why he had to hit the rock and not speak to the rock and not hit the rock. And the mishpatim are the laws which govern society, which refers to the notion of what happened, that situation which he forgot when it came to the case of Zimri and Cosby. It's interesting. That's maybe why this very important mitzvah of not adding or subtracting from Torah law, as if it is Torah law. The rabbis add many, many fences and prophylactic preparations to help us avoid transgressions. That's true, but not as Torah law itself. That might be because Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps acted a little bit beyond over here with an initiative which was not called for. And that's perhaps what he wants to say. Is if you want to get into the land of Israel, you need to adhere very clearly to every letter in the book. Finally, the last pasuk is a very famous pasuk. We say it every time we bring out the Sefer Torah. You who cleave to Hashem are alive today. What does this mean? So the Aruch HaMakadosh quotes a very, very beautiful idea. Is a halacha that you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. So we're going to come across the pasuk that the source of that in just a few weeks. But the halacha is you're not allowed to erase the name of Hashem. What about a suffix or a prefix? So let's say you have the word Elokai is Hashem's name, but what about Elokeichem, your God? Or let's say the word is Shem Avaya. You say Bahashem, In Hashem, La Hashem, To Hashem. What about that prefix, that suffix? So the halacha is actually, it's different. When it comes to a prefix you can erase, it's not considered integral to the name, and a suffix is considered integral to the name, and you're not allowed to erase it in the same way you would not be able to erase the name of Hashem. That's the Rabban Paskins in Hilchos Yisari HaTorah. So what the Aruch HaMakadosh is saying is that it explains this pasuk is saying is Atem Advekim Hashem, you are cleaving to Hashem. Well, Ba Hashem is with a prefix. The letter Beis is the prefix, the name of Hashem. Well, that's not the way to adhere to Hashem. It's not enough to be a prefix. It's not enough that you come first and Hashem's name follows you, because then you're not an integral part of Hashem's name. He really falls into the conveniences of your life. By Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem your God, you need to be the suffix in Hashem's name. You need to be following His agenda, and your life needs to be made, the decisions made in your life need to be following His agenda. That is when you're going to be Chaim Kulchem Hayom, when you are the suffix, and you therefore are halachically, so to speak, integral to the name itself. Very beautiful way of looking at what this pasuk means. With this, we close the first aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.